Did you know that kinky wellness is integral to your self-development? Hi, welcome to The Partition, home of kinky wellness, the ultimate destination to explore the integral connection between kinky wellness and your personal development. I'm your host and kinky wellness coach, Dana Shergill, and each Monday I bring on a special guest to dive into specific aspects of kinky wellness. From unconventional practices to thought-provoking conversations, I'm here to break down barriers and redefine the boundaries of wellness and pleasure. Don't forget to join me for my solo shows on Wednesdays, where I explore even further into the multifaceted layers of kinky wellness. So let's strip away the shame and taboo together and have an open conversation about it. Hey, and welcome back. In this episode, we are doing things a little bit differently, and I'm inviting a super, super special guest, which is singer-songwriter and my husband, Anurag Shergill. Anu is originally from Haryana, India, and of course, coming from India and me being from Canada, we have faced our fair share of culture differences. So without skipping a beat, let me introduce you to Anurag Shergill. So hello, babe, and welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you on the show. And I guess for our listeners here, a little backstory is we really wanted to come on the show and share some of the struggles that we have encountered, just because we have had a bit of a clash of the cultures with you coming from India and me being raised in Canada. But before we get into all that, I just want to say thank you, because you are really the big part of the why the partition is the way she is. You are the one who drove across the West and back. You're the one who brings all of our things to all the trade shows, and you film everything. And yeah, I just want to say thank you.
It's all your hard work. You do so well. And I'm really proud that you work for people's health. Especially sexuality. Nobody talks about it. In my town where I grew up, like, people just don't want to talk about sex. How I grew up, like, I see in schools here in Canada, people get education, like kids get education. And we don't have that. We never had anything in our curriculum. I'm not sure if they have it now, but I know people are still struggling like me.
Yeah. But even when it comes to just genders connecting with each other, like, for instance, we have a lot of conversations about how elementary schools and high schools were allowed to just coexist, like male, female, everybody in between. We're allowed to go to dances and grind up on each other. And you guys don't have dances. No, not like that.
No. Like, I'm so jealous for that. Oh, yeah. That's not how we grew up. We are like separate. We are like men on the other side, women on the other side. That's how I've been raised.
But honestly, I think the biggest challenge that we've had, really, what you talked about when you were on the radio, is just arranged marriage versus love marriage. And what I always find so interesting is, because in Canada, we don't really have love marriage. Like, it's just marriage. Like, you just marry someone because you love them, but there's no love marriage versus arranged marriage.
No, that's not how it works there. I've been raised in the family that I was not supposed to pick my wife, which I did. So that was also a culture shock for me and my family as well. And yeah, they don't expect you to pick your wife. That's like love marriage.
Yeah, I really did not realize how deep that culture shock was going to go. And I think it's just been like one shock. I think the first year of our marriage was one shock after the next, after the next, after the next, because there's so many things that I guess you're supposed to do in the Indian culture. Like, it seems so strict and rigid. Like, if you fall into a family where you have arranged marriage, there's no like wiggle room to get out of it, because it's just like the shame and like, oh, what will someone say, tries to keep you boxed in to keeping that commitment to staying in arranged marriage.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that goes down in the arranged marriage system. Like, people, they want to pick the same caste, like they don't want to go out of their culture. And there's a lot of things. And you had the different passport, and my family's like, oh, this is from the different planet. I guess it's alien.
Well, I watched some of our friends and some of the sad realities of what's going around with them, and like the pressure of getting married, the pressure of going into arranged marriage. And it's just so much for someone who's so young, like in our 20s here in Canada. Like, we're meant to, yeah, we're kind of raised in our 20s to like either you're going to college or university, or maybe you're taking a gap year, but you're just very, you're very free to learn about yourself and discover things and date and all of that jazz. But even with our relationships, like even when we were traveling around, there was tons of hotels where we had to prove where we were married.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have, no singles allowed was a couple of the hotels that you and I had to look out for. And yeah, we don't have that here either. Like, that was the first time I'd ever seen where like you have to be married to share a room with the opposite sex, or they will not give you a hotel room.
Yeah, there's some states, Uttar Pradesh, UP is one of them. We been there.
Yeah.
There must be many of like many similar like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our experience. But you know, people will make you feel bad if you make your own decisions. That's what I learned out of it. Because it's hard to make your own choices, you know? And when you do start making your own choices, be independent, then not everybody likes it about you.
No, and I also think that when it comes to sexual education, they hear, because the word sex, and especially because I work so much with BDSM and kink, what I have found is that it's all kind of lumped together. Like, we had several people come at us thinking that I was like working in the adult industry as like a sex worker. And it took so long to be like, no, it's education. I'm not sleeping around with other people, but it's just, you know, they hear sex. And I guess that's kind of like the experience I felt.
Yeah. Cause people don't talk to each other about sex. It's like a taboo. So when I told my parents about you, that my wife is in sexual wellness, she's an educator, their reaction was not a green signal. But yeah,
we're working through it. But yeah, it has been difficult. But even that, like the roles of what we are, because I know a big one is like, who cooks in our household is the number one question that you always get asked.
Yeah.
Is like, who makes the roadies, guys? Like, who makes the roadies? And honestly, like, you were. But yeah.
But now you have learned.
I have learned.
Yeah, you are also doing it. So.
But predominantly the majority of our relationship at the beginning was you were a huge cook. Like, you were the chef. And people really were worked up about that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was programmed in a way, I was conditioned in a way that when you'll grow up, basically you'll get a replacement mom who will take care of you, who'll cook for you. That's what I learned from my own culture. But it's hard when you make your own decisions, you know? Mm-hmm. People give you so much negativity. They feel like you're a black sheep.
Mm.
But no, I'm making my own choices. I like the way we live. I like our life, and I just love all of it.
Well, what has sexual wellness taught you, I guess? Like, what is the biggest thing about like the whole kinky wellness? Because you've really been there since day, like you were with me during the transition off of Shopify onto being more wellness educator. And so that was a big jump. And so you've been a real big help for that.
Yeah, I like that you made that switch, because people do need to be educated more. And I think it's going to help a lot of people. For me, it worked out. I gained a lot of confidence in myself, and I'm even able to talk here. So yeah, I think it really affects how you take it. It can really help you in your personality development. And yeah, you just go with the positive mind and you'll get what you want. For me personally, kinky wellness has taught me that be yourself. You'll gain the confidence. People will see your energy. They will notice you from so far. Your aura will change. Your personality will speak for itself. And there's a lot of things that working on your sexual self, which is you, basically. And yeah, it pays off really well. If you just focus on your sex life, you'll get better as a human being.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Like, obviously, I do believe that if you are more honest with yourself and your sexual self, then you're able to be more honest in general. And when you are connected to your sexual self and your sexual health, that's when you're able to like really kind of dig back into things that maybe have happened to you in the past or even in a day to day, and you can work through that or even be adventurous and try new things.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I want to add, it also was very hard to let go of the shame I have built in my own body. Like, I just was not feeling comfortable in my own skin. Seeing people naked around and like having this type of culture around me. Sex is everywhere here. It's on billboards, it's on advertisement, it's in media.
Was it overwhelming at first?
It can be. It was overwhelming for me. But, you know, have to face myself. I did. I am facing every day. It's challenging because the conditioning I've been raised with is completely different. There was so much shame growing up. I never got to talk about sex when I was growing up. The only conversation I had is with my friends. And seriously, they also don't have any idea. We were all experimenting and it was not healthy at all.
But since then, we have gone on a crazy adventure. We have been to events all over the world. We actually went to Erotic Edge in Delhi while we were in India. And that was exciting. So how did you feel about going to a BDSM and kink event actually in India?
Oh my God, I didn't even know that there's that thing going on in India. I'm glad that they are also taking some action there. And yeah, it's going to help a lot of people.
But there's some other crazy differences that I've noticed. Like, aside from sex, even though there's so many things that are so different, like just in general, how relationships are. Like, personally, I saw a lot of violence in India. Like that guy who hit that girl, like just on the street. And it's just very in your, it's just very much there that we don't have violence. Like, you can't actively hit a child on the street. Like, a police officer will be called and someone will do something. So that was hard to watch, I think, some of those times.
Yeah. Government doesn't want you to do it. They have their own laws or everything, but nobody cares about that and nobody will complain about it. It's so normal hitting your child. And yeah, it's just normal. It's just a everyday thing. There's like,
I just want to clarify here though, it wasn't like it was a smack upside the head and some kid was just like, you know, acting out and some parent like hits the kid on the top of their head like in a funny way, like, I don't know. But this was like a full, like as if a bar fight. Like, this guy took his hands and like, just, she couldn't have been more than like 11 or 12. Like, I just found that so, so scary. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's sad. I grew up with instances like that. I see even in my classroom, I got beat like shit from my teachers with scales and slaps on face.
You have a scar. You have a scar on your forehead. Okay, just for clarification, he has a scar on his forehead for when a teacher hit him over the head and his head went into a pencil. Yeah, no, the craziest thing I saw was a teacher, he took maybe a desk and flipped it upside down and all the contents fell out of it. But no, teachers can't hit children.
There's a real trauma there. Like, my body is holding on to some memories.
Yeah, but even like the shame that you have told me about your classes, if you don't get a certain grade, you have to stand on the wall and people just yell at you and make you feel so bad about yourself. No, yeah. We don't have that either here.
It's all about grades. And if you don't get good grades, you get beat up. I'm not sure how system it is nowadays, but that's how I grew up. So I can just tell my experience. Mm-hmm. That's how I experienced. And yeah, I would like to add that growing up in India, the difference that I see from Canada, basic major difference, the independence, the freedom that a human being have, you know, especially for a woman, living in India is not easy. They are still fighting for the human rights.
Yes, I remember being in your village and there was an active protest of women in the police station going on right now. And yeah, that was, they're fighting for rights that we've had for decades. And so it's so confusing to see how far behind certain countries are. And I have traveled to over 30 countries and India had to be the most culture shock for me. Just in general across the board, just like how people treat each other and even like how just people are like, who was that? We were in that tuk-tuk thing and that woman came up and like was demanding money and was trying to put curses on us and all that jazz. No, if that happened to us in the streets of Toronto, I can only imagine like that just would not happen like that. So that was interesting.
Yeah. It's like, there's no boundaries.
Yeah.
Very pushy.
Well, that's another difference that I think between India and Canada is what you bring back to the independence is what I didn't see. And this is my own personal upraising. Like I wasn't raised with my parents in the house or anything like that. So I had, if anything, a lot of privacy. And privacy is just not something that I think is respected that I saw there. There's no such thing as boundaries.
No such thing as space, no such thing as boundaries, no such thing as privacy. Everything is just on the face.
Yes, people are very involved, which can be great. You know, like if you have a very involved family and they're there for you all the time, like that's wonderful. I just think that when it came to our relationship, there were certain boundaries that we wanted to hold, which was definitely around our wedding date. And so we wanted to pick our own date. And that was something that was very, I was shocked by that. I can't even explain. Like, I did not think that we were going to get such a negative pushback, I guess, on that. Like, I was just not prepared for that at all. Most people here, if you say you're getting married in Canada, people are like, oh, congratulations. When? Or that's it. Like, congrats. That's it. The end of story. Full stop.
You should be thankful my family didn't keep my passport address. You should be thankful I'm there with you.
No, I remember praying. I was like, oh dear God, please get him his passport back. But I know that we are maybe exaggerating here, but there are stories like that. That's the thing. I have heard such extreme stories and met people with such extreme stories that when they did decide to marry outside of their culture or did decide to get married even outside of their caste system, people are just, they'll just kill themselves. Yeah.
And they do kill each other. I don't know. Yeah. It's so crazy. And they basically, they give you the feeling that as if you're doing something wrong, you're just making your own choice, but they treat you as like you were, as if you are doing something wrong.
Yeah. I think, and this all comes back to even that Instagram photo that you had. So you were, you know, through this transition, you've gone into body positivity, right? Oh. And you've really found your skin. And you posted that butt picture online. And the Canadian side was very positive. Like our Canadian friends were just like, yeah, like, fuck yeah, you got your butt out. Like good, feel good in your skin. But yeah, there was a lot of pushback and like shame around the naked body.
Yeah, a lot of my friends and family members, they were not happy and they were like, take it down. I'm like, no, I like it. It's my body. And I want to show, I want to jump into body positivity. And I don't have any embarrassment or shame just to live in my own skin. That's the key to self-confidence and growth, which we need to understand.
Mm-hmm. I think being okay in your own skin has been a big one. And sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like when I was there, there was a lot of clothing that I wasn't able to wear, I couldn't wear, which is fine. But I think it comes down to, like, I'm allowed to wear a sundress in Canada and I feel good in it. And I just feel like when you're in an environment where you constantly have to cover yourself up, subconsciously that must take a toll on your positivity, on your body. Like that must take a toll if you're constantly being told to cover up or hide yourself, you know? So that I found was challenging, but honestly it was mostly because of the weather. But I gotta say, I love the outfit. I wear it at home now. Like I wear it so comfy. It's like cotton and all that jazz, but that was a bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, but having a mandatory restrictions to wear what you want and what you not, even if it's like a sexy dress, it will still make you feel bad because there's some conditions involved in it. You know, you don't get to say what you want to wear, what you don't. It's different in urban areas and big cities, but for the small towns and small villages, which there is a lot of population that don't have any exposure of the big city life, and they don't have any source of education. Like you're not gonna learn anything from porn or anything like that. So to get education is not an easy thing there.
Well, I think education on sexual education specifically, because I must say that the education that you received growing up in your high school and even in your college while you're still in India is leaps and bounds ahead of what I experienced. And I went to 4 different high schools and not a single one offered some of the classes that you went through. So you got like some of the math and sciences that you have are very intense. Like those are like college level, university level style here.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like the course I did in Canada was easier. I'm not sure if that the course was like that. Yeah, they just passed you. You just have to show up. That's all. But in India, like the colleges I was studying in, you have to score. You have to show up. If your attendance is short, there'll be different conditions on you. Stuff like that. I would like to add more about the treatment of women in India, because there's a lot of discrimination between men and women back home. We are programmed to sit separately on some of the religious places as well. So subconsciously in our head, there's a gender line.
Yeah, I remember going to one of the temples, and that was the first thing that I noticed is that one, I was excited to be there and to see it, but I was a little nervous when they had us split up a bit, because here in our churches, again, anybody can sit like anywhere they want. And of course, like there were some women on one side, some men on the other, but predominantly it was just rows and rows and rows of just opposite gender sitting on opposite sides. And I don't remember, or I don't think I have any memories of any event that I've ever gone to where it's been so separate, where men are on one side and women are the other.
Yeah, I think there need to be more united. Yeah, I think the couples need to be more united. We as a human beings, we need to be more united. And there should be less inequality between men and women.
Yeah, equality between the husband and wife definitely is something that we are more level at, I believe. Like when you're out of the house, I make the food. And when I was working and you were home, you were making the food. And that doesn't seem weird to me. That just seems like it's a partnership. We're helping each other every way we can. And like, even when it comes to laundry, like you would go bring the laundry down, I'll fold it, but like we would still do it together. And I feel like something that I didn't realize was going to be such a shock is how often I'd be like, oh, we do it together. And people were just so, I feel like the responses that we got every time I was like, oh yeah, we do things together, it was like, why? Or like, how could you? Or that's a man's job, or this is a woman's job. But to me, it's just a household job that needs to get done, and we're both equally responsible for it. And that's how I was raised. And although like it will never be 50-50, I don't believe that relationships are ever 50-50. I don't believe that it should always be dependent on someone. Like you very much can look at me and be like, do you need help? And then you help me. But I feel like what I witnessed is if a wife is struggling, a husband is very much like, well, that's just the wife's job. I just felt like she kind of was struggling, like left alone to struggle on her own, which is something that we don't encourage here or at least what I see being raised in, you know, Southern Ontario.
Yeah, they think women is just supposed to wash their clothes, do the laundry, and just make their food, just wipe their face. Basically. So, like, I don't know. It's like they basically need a slave. It's very selfish.
As much as slave might sound like a heavy word to some listeners, like, I have seen firsthand some of the women from, like, when you took me around and, like, we visited the town. And yeah, some of those women, they're like shackled to their house as if it's like a prison. I don't feel like they're thriving in those environments. So that was a little bit different. And I think this all comes down to is in the West, we do have the option of divorce and you can't force people to stay together. Now, I do know that some people have said that divorce is legal in India, but again, I feel like not a lot of people activate that right because the process is long.
And shame.
And shame. Yeah, like you cannot get a divorce. And there's just some women that I wish that they could get a divorce because it would just help them.
Yeah, that's true. Women should be allowed to stay with whoever you want. If you don't like somebody, then what's the point of all those agreements?
Well, it's just not even a concept that we... It's just the concept of not being able to leave someone, that's like kidnapping here, and that you'd go, that's against the law. So like some of the things that are normal from what I saw out in Haryana, like that would be deemed a crime here in Canada. And because I was raised that way, and even if I wasn't, I do think it's a bit of a crime. You can't force people to be together forever. And like, but even beyond that, like, yes, together till death do us part, but we've seen examples where a spouse will die. And these are the most interesting stories that I've heard come out of your town is like, if a male dies, the woman will have to remarry to someone in the family, whether it's like an uncle or someone, and then
younger brother.
Yeah, younger brother. But like here, that woman would just become like a widow and she'd be able to like restart her life and go through grievances and grief. And, you know, if she found somebody down the line, she'd be able to do that. But it's not forced upon her that she has to remarry back into the family, depending on the age.
Yeah, it's slowly changing, but I'm not sure how slow and how fast it is. But yeah, that message definitely needs to go out that you are allowed to live your life. That's okay. We all go through hard times. Regardless of the gender, we should be able to live our life the way we want.
Mm-hmm. And we don't get remarried right away after death. Like, that's not... Maybe that's just something that I saw while we were there.
I feel arranged marriage is a hit and trial.
I feel like the best thing that can happen in arranged marriage is that you end up liking each other.
Yeah.
But we've seen some pretty ugly cases. And I'm not saying every case is bad, but oof, for the...
The ones that are bad.
The ones that are bad. Wow. Wow. But the joke's on us a little bit too, because like we have that joke of that we kind of arranged marriage ourselves, because... A little bit about us is that we were together for a year and we said after this year, we would go get married and we would just sign our papers. And at the time, you and I didn't want to get married at all, actually. And I think it was like over the months, we were like, you know what? I guess we can do it. And then we're like, oh, we don't want a big wedding. We just want to sign the papers. And now we're 2 years into it. And we're like, fuck it. We want that big wedding back. Like, so we'll plan that for, you know, this year or next year or whatever. But I got to say, the weddings in India, though, look fantastic. They are like a Hollywood event. Oh, my God. Everyone looks like Hollywood stars.
Yeah. Now you bring up our wedding. Like, I would like to talk about our story, how we started.
Okay.
So I met Dana in Canmore.
Alberta.
In the liquor store where she was my manager. That was my part-time job there.
That was my full-time job there. I had just graduated out of business management and I moved out there on a whim because one of my dearest friends said, oh, you'll love it. And she and I don't, Katie, I hope you don't mind if I'm using your word, but Katie and Liam said, go out there. And that's where I met you. And yeah, you are my health and safety team.
That was the best time.
That was so much fun.
So how it started, I was just going on the work just another day. And there Dana appears, a new manager in the town. I'm like, ooh. And I just saw her dancing in the aisle. Yeah, in the store. And I'm like, wow, she has such a good positive energy. Aww. And yeah, I like that.
Playfulness.
I'm like, I want to dance. So yeah, I just started asking you out. Mm-hmm. And I asked you out for like multiple times.
To be fair, I did introduce you to my best friend at the time, even though we didn't hang out that much. But yeah, we worked together. It wasn't until you gave your 2 weeks notice that I was like, okay, now we're not working together. Now we can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we hung out first time. We went to Kootenai. And that was very special.
That's when you told me all about your grand plans in life. And I was like, holy shit. Wow. I want to be around this energy. And it was rare for me to find entrepreneurs. I think it was very important to me that you were an entrepreneur and that you were willing to like go against the grain. And that's the other thing that, you know, like even your choice of career, it's not out of like the standardized boxes. And so I actually love that you write and you sing and you have a great team and like your music videos are so cute and amazing. And I was just shocked that you could do that all by yourself, because it looks like you need a whole group of people there, but it was just kind of you and
I have you as my backbone.
Thanks. Yes. I was gonna say, who was the film guy who filmed it there? What's his name? I forget. Sahib. Yeah, oh, yeah. I met Sahib. Yeah, Sahib. So
yeah. And so then we hung out together. That's I'm talking about our first night. And
we danced
all night. We played so much party music and it was like,
oh, and
it
just
was so much fun.
And just for reference, I will be putting in the song that we danced to the most.
Master
in the link so everyone can listen to that. Yes. But then ever since then, we were kind of inseparable. And then you moved back to Ontario, which is actually where I was from. So I flew out to see you once to kind of figure like where we were and all this jazz. But I can see why a part of our problem started so harshly, because I did not know that your parents did not know that we were dating. Yeah.
I had no courage that time to tell my family. It was so hard for me. So we moved in together. We took that chance. And then I just called home and I said, hey, Dad, you know, I'm in the living relationship now and I am with this girl named Dana. She used to be my manager, and then we love each other now and we're gonna move together. They're like, what? I'm like, I'm not getting married, I'm just moving in.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going in my head that I thought they will be so modern. Like, I don't know, like, and you taught me not to hide anything, so I didn't want to hide from my own family, and I told them the truth that I'm dating you and I'm looking forward to get you know you more.
Well, that's hard too, to be honest with family members. And you really did think that it was going to be okay. But honestly, like, not, this goes out to anybody else who's struggling on the fence of like what to do. And as much as it's hard, you really do need to stick with your most authentic self and what works for you. Because what I find is like, yeah, some people, like some of the people I've introduced me to, they'll go and get an arranged marriage because they think it's easy, or they thought it was easy at the time, but they're now like a few years in and now they just don't understand. Like, they don't have a life.
Yeah. Some people, they somehow make it. They somehow find their way to work together, because we as a human beings, we have the capability to adjust ourselves. So I guess people adjust, quote unquote, but I'm not sure they're like truly engaged spiritually with each other, or they are really deep down in love with each other. Because being just having a marriage, you gotta take it seriously, man. It's very mature decision. You gotta know that person. And one thing that they don't tell you there, which I have not learned, that I would say if someone wants to learn, that know and check the sexual compatibility with your partner.
Yes. Well, I, for one, definitely believe in sexual compatibility. I do think that people can, if you're willing to work with your partner, but if you're not sexually compatible, then sometimes it doesn't work out if you're not sexually compatible, because there's so much that goes into that. And it is very much like, for, I would say, we can bring it to our relationship. Like, I'm somebody that needs sexual compatibility, and I obviously you are too, and that's very important to us. So like, if that is important to you, then you need to take that into consideration. But I think even what you were saying is, because you don't have sexual education at all, it's not part of the thought process when picking a partner.
Yeah. And if you're willing to learn and grow, then it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I learned.
So what's been your favorite thing going on with the partition?
My favorite thing is I get to be myself whenever I go in the events. It can be your seminar, or we just go for show, or anything. I love to be around positive, like-minded people. And I see there's so much openness. Nobody care about what you're wearing, how you look like. It's just in our head. Mm-hmm. No one really cares.
Well, how did you feel about being nude at Oasis then for the first time? Because no one cares about being naked. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, even with the butt picture, like, we're supposed to be naked in the sense, like, we all were naked at one point. Like, clothes were not an organic thing. Like, we made that.
Yeah, sexuality is something that we need to embrace, not to feel shame.
Absolutely. Like, if you could tell your younger self something about what you've learned in the last couple of years in regards to kinky sexual wellness, what would you tell them?
I would scream on the top of my lungs. No, seriously. I'll just say, don't be so shy. Open up. Open up with someone, at least. Someone. Mm-hmm. Don't just... You know when you fill too much water in the bottle and it starts to come out? That's like the suppression due to you. When you suppress one feeling too much and all the time you're thinking about that in your head, you're thinking about sex, but you're not actually talking or experiencing, it gets very difficult to openly talk about it. So yeah, I want to tell my younger self that just open up.
That's nice. I think that's sweet. If I had to give my younger self a piece of advice in regards to kinky sexual wellness, it would be, I think that sex has meaning, even if you are just doing it for funsies. Like, just know what you're doing. Just know what you're doing. Because I know I've talked to you about this before, but like these magazines like Cosmopolitan that like encourage, you know, this liberation of like sleep with whoever you want, that might work for some people, but I do feel like it's damaging to a lot of people as well. And so I feel like that side of the coin, we don't really talk about that much. That's something that I've noticed in the West. We've like glamorized this type of lifestyle. And we have seen a little bit of it enter in the big cities in India with, you know, the push and influence of the West and social media and just pop culture. But yeah, I think that's what I would say to my younger self. But honestly, I learn every day. Like, I feel like I learn something all the time when it comes to sexual wellness. And even some of the things that I'm sure that I know now will change as I evolve and with more experiences and things like that. And so I also would tell my younger self that like, not everything you think is concrete. it's going to change. It's flow. It's fluid. That's the whole thing about it. It's fluid. Our sexual energy is our life energy. It's our creative energy. And I also feel like that if you lose that touch, like you can't be creative outside, and that can go into art, into acting, singing, like just building, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you can use that energy and transform into anything possible. Seriously, like it's magic.
Sex magic. Sex magic. Well, another thing I want to bring up is kind of our experience with being an interracial couple. So I did not notice or care at all in Toronto. I didn't feel that at all. And then when we went to India, obviously I was like, oh, people are looking. But then when we were being stared at in Thorold, when we lived there for a minute, I was like, fuck this town. Like for anybody who knows Thorold, it's in Southern Ontario. I was like, I don't like, we were getting a lot of attention in Thorold. People were like, staring, and like we had like that guy cross the street, and we had like people walk into our faces. And St. Catharines was okay, but I really felt like Thorold was giving us a tough time. And then you said it doesn't matter where we go, we're always gonna get looked at, honey.
Yeah.
So I just kind of remember that being like, yeah, that's true. But even now that we've kind of got out of Thorold and we're in another place, it's been fine too. I think it's just certain areas. You can almost tell who's shocked or not.
Yeah, it's unusual, right? And it's spicy.
It's spicy brownies.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny about us is like we always make this joke is that you're a little light brown and I'm like a dark white.
Mocha.
Yeah, I'm not like a white white. I'm like the European, like olive skin white. And so we were destined to be together because we're kind of the off shades.
Yeah, it's like the brown guy's dreams coming true. Like even my family said, you're going abroad. Even when I was in India, they're like, oh, you're going to go abroad. So are you going to marry the white person? Like they subconsciously put in my head. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I think I just would like to add that what you are doing as a kinky wellness coach, that people do need to understand that kink, the term is not negative. It's just you, and it's part of you. It's that part of you that you don't want to show it to anybody. It's as simple as that. It's the part when you go look in the mirror and maybe you want to face it. Maybe you don't. Yeah, so that's what I learned. You just need to face yourself, face your demons, and then embrace that energy.
Wonderful. Yes, I do like your comment about facing your demons, because that's what kinky wellness can definitely help you with. But is there anything else that you want to say? Because I've loved having you on the show with our little... whatever this episode is, I think it was just fun to like have you on the show. And for our listeners, if you have any questions that you want to ask us, please let me know and we can build a whole other episode around questions that you have. But yeah, babe, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I would end on the note that talk about sex. Don't just think about it all the time. You got to talk, you got to open up. And I know it can be very hard. It's very vulnerable topic. But you got to find that right person to talk to.
Yes. And if you're listening to this, then by all means, shoot us a DM and find me on Instagram. And there's tons and tons of people out here that want to talk or will help you. And like we said, even resources. I think I'm going to put Ancilla's links in the description as well. And with all the contact information of the people that we met in Erotic Edge in Delhi. And so if there's people listening from India, you can check them out as well. But thank you for coming on the show, babe. Normally I ask, is there anywhere my listeners can find you? Do you want to leave your Instagram handle?
Yes, please. Okay. Please find me on Instagram, Anurag Shergill, AnuragShergill. And you can find me on my YouTube, HYCANDY Media. High Candy Media.
Yes, and make sure to like and subscribe. Smash that like and subscribe button when you do. You will actually find me as well on that High Candy channel. I've been in a couple music videos of yours, but that is besides the point. Thank you so much again for coming on the show, babe. And for my listeners, you guys know what to do. As always,
stay kinky.